Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
They played a Rupp Arena last night in Lexington, and we talked about it yesterday. You thought the line was too low. I guess not. Kentucky wins by 9. Didn't even really come close to covering. Vanderbilt was up 7 at the half.
Well, and I was not able to see that game. I was stuck at a school function last night. Otherwise, I'd have been the couch potato flipping around all the channels. But by those who watched the game, they said Vanderbilt really, you know, had an opportunity not just to, you know, hang around and look respectable like they did, but really win the game. You know, had they made some more big shots, but that's been the problem, right? But it's still an encouraging performance for them. You know, they made some outside shots. I mean, this is not a team that's going to post guys up. They're limited, right? They don't have a whole lot. They're going to shoot a lot of threes. They got to make some threes. But Saban Lee had the kind of game that he's capable of. You know, got to the free throw line a little bit, got to the basket some. Maybe they have a formula here that could help them win some games down the road. That's what you have to hope for, that you get out of this.
Elijah, you watch a lot of college basketball. I watched the Kentucky-Texas Tech game Saturday night. It was, for a guy who's been banging on college basketball this year that's not very good, that's me. I thought it was a really good game. I don't know how good Texas Tech really is. They beat West Virginia at home last night. I wasn't overly impressed with them. You've got a team like Dayton I don't really know anything about other than they're highly ranked. I know they won last night on the road.
They're a sleeper. They're definitely a sleeper.
San Diego State. I mean, if college basketball's down, are these teams – I know somebody's got to be good. Are these teams legit, or are they just – two teams that are taking advantage of a lot of powerhouse programs that are down?
It's a little bit of both. I would say it's definitely a little bit of both. San Diego State, I'm still trying to wrap my head around if they are number four in the country good. But I can tell you for sure that Dayton is the real deal. They have their best player, Obi Toppin, is a guy who has snuck his way into the conversation to be a top 10 pick in the NBA draft this year. And he had 22-10 last night, only missed about two or three shots. Dayton's got some guys. They have some complimentary players that are pretty good, too. And in a year where college basketball is a little down, I wouldn't be shocked to see a Gonzaga, which Gonzaga might be the best overall team in the country, or a Dayton, or San Diego State's any good. This is the year in which they can make a run.
So who in the Power Fives, or who's legit? Like legit, ooh, legit.
I say Duke's still legit.
Oh, really? I don't think they're legit at all.
They're getting better.
They're getting a whole lot better.
They're getting better. I still don't see, I don't know. I still don't see the special players.
Yeah, I don't
for
either.
Them right
I mean,
now.
They may get better. Talented. And Kentucky's going to get better. I mean, clearly.
They're both getting better. But right. I think relative to some of the teams I've had before, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think, honestly, probably the best team I've seen is Louisville.
Now, they go as Jordan Nwora goes, too. Last night, they end up getting a big win on the road at Boston College, and Nwora had over 30 points and hit 7 threes. But they go through some games where offensively, they're quite inept. Now, they're one of the best defensive teams in the country. It's just my problem with them is night in, night out, the offense isn't there. And a lot of that's to do with their three-point shooting.
Speaking of hoops, the big man has arrived, Brandon Wright. Brandon, how you doing?
Doing well, guys. Appreciate you having me.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, man. What's been going on?
What's been going on in your world?
A lot of rehab, kids, wife.
Yeah, I know.
Family stuff.
How's
it's been
that
fun,
going?
Though, man, it's been fun.
Yeah.
Got three girls.
Wow.
5-year-old, twin 2-year-olds. It's fun.
You got your hands full.
Four women in the house.
Yeah. How's sleep right now?
Sleep is fine.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're past that stage.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they sleep well. You know, the twins, they do their thing. But, I mean, after you get to about 6 to 8 months, depending on your child, you're good to go.
Yeah. We got a lot of things we're going to touch on with you this hour. But now that you just brought up having girls, mm-hmm. being a father of girls, and the whole Kobe Bryant story on Sunday, I mean, it just rocked the sports world. It rocked the world. Yeah. I mean, he was more than just a basketball player. He's a global icon. And just to know the circumstances for you, my guess is it probably hit home a little bit more than even a lot of people who have obviously taken this really hard.
Yeah, it hit hard. I mean, and knowing him and playing against him for 12 years and, you know, all that's great. But, you know, first initial thought that comes to my mind is, you know, losing a 13-year-old girl. You know, losing that whole crew and the people you leave behind. You know, I have three young daughters myself. So that really hurt the most. You know, I just kind of froze when I got the news.
Yeah.
And I was thinking it was fake. I was hoping it was fake.
Yeah. We all were.
Yeah, but I kind of froze for like an hour. I was actually putting my daughter to bed for a nap, and I was changing her diaper, and I took her diaper off, and I didn't put her diaper on for like 30 minutes. She was like, "Daddy, put my diaper on. It's time to go night-night," you know. I mean, I literally froze in her room. Wow. So it was like that. Mm.
What? So you just said it. I mean, you've been around him. You've been on the court. What? We've all seen it, but you've seen a different perspective than us. So what was your perspective?
I think he was a two-part person. It was the early part of his career where he, you know, set the world on fire coming out of high school, you know, big-time scorer. You know, he patterned his game after Jordan. He was such a talented player. He kind of blazed into the league, and, you know, he got the legal trouble with the case in Colorado. And he was winning championships. And he was portrayed as a bad teammate. He had the feud with Shaq. You know, he got into it with Phil. And then, ironically, when his team started to decline after that last championship, when, you know, his teams really weren't any good anymore, I think he changed as a person. I think he started to really enjoy and cherish what he had. I think he really started to give more to the guys in the league, give more to the game. And I think that was his second part. You know, him being a father, you know, him getting injured, and him seeing the world in a different light.
When you have a green light go, just mash the gas pedal mentality, basically with everything you do, it's got to be tough, right? Because clearly, as you just described, and other people have said this, he had to take his foot off the gas some. Like, he realized that you cannot be full speed ahead at all times in your life.
Yeah.
And so he had to back off and learn how to back off. And I wonder how tough that is for somebody that's wired like that to you know, back off and take a little bit different approach.
Well, you know, honestly, I don't think he backed off. I think he just shifted lanes.
Okay.
Me and my wife were actually talking about this yesterday. I think he was just a different person in the second half of his career. And he started to put his focus not only on basketball, he started to put his focus on his marriage, his fatherhood, you know, female sports, volleyball, basketball, the Mamba Sports Academy.
Mm-hmm.
No, he took that passion and energy he had when he won those five championships and those two finals MVPs and all those All-Stars and those scoring championships and shifted lanes and started putting it on those things.
I like that. I've heard a lot of former players say that he talked to them a lot. You know, sometimes obviously he trash talked, but he also, if you did something that I watched an interesting, it was on Showtime. Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson do a podcast, but they're doing the show. I stumbled upon it the other day. It was the first time I'd ever seen it. It's on Showtime, so I don't know if it's also a television show as well. But Matt Barnes is the one, when they were in Orlando, who had the ball out of bounds, and he, you know, act like he was going to throw the ball at
Kobe. Didn't flinch,
Kobe never moved. Yeah. And he thought, oh, my gosh, like, this guy is going to want to fight me, you know, the rest of my career. Instead, Kobe was impressed, one, that he would ever, you know, that he would do that to him. And it actually kind of started kind of their relationship. Kobe would constantly talk to him, like, and other players I've heard them say, you made a move or something, like, where did you come up with that? You know, he was always trying to study the game.
He was a deep learner. He really wanted to learn, and he's actually done that with me before, because one game in the Staples Center, this is when they were on the downtrend, and I was with the Mavericks. We beat them pretty bad, and I had a great night. I didn't miss a shot. It was 10 for 10 that night. And he was out that night, but he came over to our locker room after the game, and he talked to a couple guys, and he talked to me, and he was asking me about my left hand and the stuff I do in the off season. And then at the end of that conversation, he said, you know, use your right hand more. Talk about my right hook, because I'm a pretty dominant left-hand player overall. But, I mean, he was literally trying to take something from everyone.
Yeah.
You know, he would take something from an ant if he could offer him something, you know?
There, in fact, he told the story, I guess, I don't remember how it happened or what exactly his injury was, but he had broke his right wrist or something. He had surgery, and he couldn't use it. And a lot of players talked about him showing up, but they would show up to the gym, and he would be in there for hours doing nothing but doing stuff with his left hand
because
he could use it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way he was. And he was always trying to learn something new. I think we can all take that from him. I mean, he wasn't wasting time. You know, he was always trying to pour into himself and be more knowledgeable. I mean, he knew five languages, basically six, you know, working on a six. So, I mean, he was just a remarkable person, had a great brain, you know, just a brain you want to just, you know, look at and examine and, you know, see how he was wired.
You brought up Michael Jordan. It was Monday after skate, we were all kind of sitting downstairs at Bridgestone Arena, and myself and Willie and Hal Gill and Chris Mason. And Chris Mason brought up, have you seen the video of Kobe and Michael, where it's Michael doing these moves and the video switches and it's like Kobe?
It's like a mashup. Would you call it a mashup?
Yeah, that's probably the best way to describe it. I didn't know exactly what you call it. It's crazy how they looked exactly alike on the court. With a lot of moves.
Yeah, he said it too. Everything he did, he wanted to be Jordan-like. He would watch Jordan interviews. You know, he wanted to chew gum like Jordan. He wanted his lips to move like Jordan. He wanted his mannerisms off the court to be like Jordan. He wanted to walk like Jordan. I mean, you can take so many, you know, pieces of video and film and from on and off the court and put it side by side and you'll see the same person. I mean, he literally wanted to be exactly like Jordan.
We will come back more with Brandon Wright here on Darren Donick and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Longtime NBA veteran. Nashville product Brandon Wright is in the studio with us here. Darren Donick and Chase, 102.5 The Game. So, Brandon, I was trying to get the timeline while we were on the break because I can remember, you know, your arc on your career here. So, with Kobe Bryant, because I think about this a lot with all the tributes that you're seeing, you're one of those guys that you grew up watching Kobe Bryant. He's not a whole lot older than you, but when you were coming up through the ranks and developing your game, he's ascending, right? So take us back to that time. How old were you when he broke into the league, when he came out of high school?
Yeah, I was about 11 or 12 years old, and I watched him. I thought he was a great player. You know, he was one of my favorite guys to watch.
So you rooted for him. Did you root for the Lakers, or did you just enjoy watching him?
I mean, yeah. I liked the Lakers. I liked the team they had. I thought they were entertaining to watch.
Were you a Shaq fan?
Yeah, I was a Shaq fan, too. I had watched old clips of him in LSU, though. I just thought he was a freak of nature, like body-wise and stuff like that, before he got, like, huge. But, yeah, so I watched him a lot. And then, actually, my first preseason game, my first game ever, it was in the preseason. My rookie year was against the Lakers in Hawaii.
Wow. In Hawaii?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of teams do these off-site, off-site training.
Well, if you're going to be off-site, you might as well go to Hawaii.
It's a great place to go. But I was able to finally see him in person. You know, and that year, they were supposed to be no good, and that was the year they made to the finals. They lost to Boston, I think 4-1 that year. But that was supposed to be a bad year for them, and So I played a lot of games against him. I was in the Pacific Division with Golden State. We didn't win a lot against them. And I was able to watch him win championships. Win like two championships when I
right. So, first part so of my what's league. It like when you first get into the league and you're playing against guys like him who you grew up watching?
Yeah.
How strange was that?
It's pretty strange until you know look in the mirror and realize you're comparable. You know.
Yeah.
You know you have the talent. It's the reason you're there. You kind of got to get over it real quick. I mean, you hear from guys all the time. You get a little starstruck. You know.
Yeah.
You know, guys you see go out there and put up great season after great season, got a lot of talent. You know, they can jump just as high as you. They can do some great things, but you kind of got to get over it. And it was always, it's always fun to go up against guys that you know watch on TV. But he was special. He could literally not do anything for three quarters and take over at any quarter.
Wow. So it is interesting how you grow up. You watched this happen. You watched some guys, for two or three straight years there. You had these really special players come out and go right into the pros from high school, right? And so thinking back, you had Kobe, you had LeBron not too far after that, and you had Kevin Garnett,
yeah,
right? So you were watching this, and then you get to high school at Brentwood Academy, and you're on the radar very early. So take us back to that time. The whole one-and-done thing had not happened yet, right, as you're entering high school.
It was in the talks, that they were going to change the rule, but it was no complete certainty that they were. And, I mean, I had a lot of people talking to me, but not like hype men or anything. Like, these are real people, people that know what they were talking about.
Yeah.
You know, they say if you get the opportunity, you probably, you need to go out of high school. And that was kind of – it was taken off the table for me.
What year was that in your – high school career that rule came in?
I think they took it off the table in 2005. I think.
Okay.
So a year before I graduated.
Yeah.
So that, I was being recruited heavily by pretty much anyone, and it was kind of a boulder off the shoulders. You know, easy choice to go to North Carolina, but that rule is will be coming back soon. Definitely. So, they'll definitely start letting guys come straight out of high school pretty soon.
And that's probably the right move. And that's how they do college baseball.
Yeah.
So what do you think the ideal rule would be? Is it an option? If you go to college, are you committed for a longer period than 1 year?
I think, first of all, I'm a little worried about it because I think this is a new day and age. I think all kind of guys are going to go out of high school. We could see, anywhere from 7 to 12 high school participants trying to go to the NBA draft. So I'm a little worried about that. But I think you should be able to go out of high school, But I think if you do go to college, I think 2 years is good. That's a good number. I think three is a little excessive, but I like the 2 years.
So that's the trade-off. And then the other thing that's there now is you have the established G League, right?
Yeah.
You have a lot of guys who there's at least a safety net. There's a place to go without going overseas.
Yeah.
You're one step away like a minor leaguer. But what's your opinion of the G League in terms of how they develop players? Now, think about guys coming in. If I'm making the choice to come out of high school, and I'm thinking, if I don't make a roster when I'm 18, 19, what's the G League compared to the experience at college?
I think the G League is a good tool. And I never played in the G League, so I don't really know how the game plays. I just watched it on film.
Yeah.
I mean, the defense is atrocious overall. But I mean, you guys just try to get out there and showcase themselves. I think the G League is best when you get these first-round guys that are real, real young and just not ready. You just want to get them experience. And then you got guys take a local guy like Jordan Bone, who was drafted, I think he was last pick in the second round. He'll get a great G League experience. And then in a couple of years, he'll have opportunity to come up to the big club and do some good things because he plays so many games, works so hard for 2-3 years, and, he'll get a shot.
One thing, you were talking about how Kobe Bryant would really study and work on his game. He was always adding new moves. He and Michael Jordan both had a great ability to, if they needed to post up, or even from the medium post, 12, 15 feet out, they were tremendous, right? They had all the moves. They could shot fake. They had fadeaway jumpers. We're seeing less of that, right? I mean, you're a classic big man. You're a shot blocker. But the evolution of where the game is going is really interesting, right? You just don't see a whole lot of guys posting up these days.
Nah, I mean, it's pretty much dead overall.
Are you sad about that?
I mean,
because one of the things that I think is fun is to watch a guy operate.
Yeah, I love the footwork. I love the footwork of Kobe and Jordan, the way they used to operate, the attention to detail. But these days, it's either, you know, you either shoot the three or you're dunking at the rim. You're like a leaper, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really not much in between. And we have guys in this league that can still fill it up from the mid range. But you know, analytics and coaches, a lot of coaches. It's a bad shot. You know, don't shoot that 12-footer. You know, drive to the hole, kick it out for a three, or try to get to the rim. So it's a little alarming, but now we talk about this all the time, me and my colleagues. It's cycles.
Yeah.
It'll go back. You know, we'll be talking about this in 10 years, sitting here in the same spot, talking about 12 big men getting the ball for 10 post-ups a game, you know? It'll be back.
I mean, the math, theoretically, I don't know what's going to change the math, but – you're seeing these crazy games right now where you got a lot of games nightly that are 135 to 125.
Yeah,
right?
It's crazy. I mean, I was watching the I watch random games, and Milwaukee and Washington played the other night, and Washington scored 131 and got beat by 20.
Yeah,
I mean, just think about that. You know, they got beat by 20 points. I mean, that's just how the game is going. Threes, layups, you know, get out in transition. Offensive rebounds are high right now because coach is not really emphasizing as much on rebounding as much as they used to. You know, defense is all about not the points you're giving up, but the percentage of rating and points you're giving up. So it's a new day, and like it's no social media is kind of hurting the game too a little bit, I think, with all the mixtape and exposure, you know.
It's interesting. So what factor is that? Like, fill me in on that, because I understand. I mean, I've read up on why, just with the math, and the fact is, guys 6'9", 6'10", can hit these threes, right? You can't leave them open. They'll make them. So that brings the guys out. It creates the space, and now you have driving lanes, and it's – I can see why the offense works. But where do the mixtapes come in?
I mean, just, you know, you got a lot of – you know, yeah, slam, balls, life, and, you know, you just – and.
They want to bring that into
it's just part of the times. Technology is huge these days. You know, you get more exposure and more people want to see you. You know, we got these kids coming in the NBA. They already got 150,000 followers. You know, it's just how it is these days. You know, we didn't have that around my second, third year. That's when Twitter got really, really hot. It was a big thing, and it was just crazy. And you know, you see the guys shooting the threes from 38 feet. Guys can make them, though. You see Dame Lillard last night pull up from just past the half-court line. But, you know, in the NBA, 3 points is more than 2 points. And that's, and that's the philosophy right now.
That sure is. I'll tell you. Well, when we come back, Darren, we're going to talk. I want to get him to talk about this young Memphis team because they've got some of these elements, right? Yeah. I mean, Ja Morant has got some highlights in him every night. They won again last night, by the way. So we'll get to him because Brandon certainly is familiar with that franchise.
No doubt about it. We'll do that to close out hour number one. Brandon Wright in studio here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brandon Wright has been nice enough to hang out with us. Willie brought up, Brandon, Memphis Grizzlies. They've gone through some tough times, but because of the tough times, they got rid of a lot of payroll. They were able to kind of like start over. They got a lot of high draft picks. Certainly
made some smart trades.
And this kid Ja Morant, who we watched in the OVC, which you know we were like, whoa. And we talked to a lot of the coaches. They're like, this kid is the real deal. Because you know early on, we kept hearing like this guy's going to be a lottery pick or he's going to be top five or and we were like, really? He's that good? And as the season went along, it was like, oh, he is that good. The Grizzlies, what do you see when you watch them?
I mean, they have a great young nucleus with a good mix of solid veterans that have been playing in the league for a long time that know their roles and do their jobs and you know no locker room disturbances or anything like that. But they got a great core. I mean, I like Ja. You know, Jaren Jackson is a really good player also. And I even like the Clark kid. You know, he's been coming off the bench for him and bringing a huge spark. I think he had a good game last night. I mean, they can be a talented team if they keep it together. You know, it's always a big if you can keep those small right. market teams together. You know, one of those guys might, you know, end up in Chicago or L.A. or, you know, New York. But, man, they got about 2-3 years here of growth to try to really take off and see what they can do. But, yeah, Jai's been spectacular. Man, I love what he's been doing. You know, he doesn't rely on one part of his game to slow him down. And that's what I like about him. He's not playing like a rookie. He's playing like a guy that's, you know, seasoned vet.
Have you had a chance to watch – I know Zion Williamson just came back. Have you had a chance to watch him?
Yeah, I've seen him quite a bit. Watched him a lot last year at Duke.
Yeah.
You know, watched him a little bit in the preseason. I watched these last two games. I mean, he's looking good. I mean, the biggest thing with him is health. You know, it really hasn't been a guy ever coming to NBA with that body type.
Yeah.
So who knows what's going to happen? You know, who knows if he's going to last for 3 years, 5 years, 8 years, you know? I mean, he's pretty heavy overall. He doesn't carry it in a bad way. He's just a big guy, and you know how's that pounding, you know, handle on him over 82 game season.
Let me ask with that, because I mean we're watching it here with Aaron Nesmith with a stress fracture. Mm-hmm. We saw what happened to Darius Garland last year. Are you concerned the wear and tear on some of these guys who grew up and you went through it? So you're the right guy to say to get perspective on it, because what you hear, some theories is with these guys so big and strong, and you play so many games coming through the ranks. You know, sometimes 3-4 games on a Saturday, come back, play another couple in a tournament over a weekend, and the stress that it puts on your joints and things. Are you worried about that? You see a lot of injuries like this now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm worried about it. I mean, but, you know, guys are not going to stop playing.
but is there a smarter way to play where maybe you don't play as many games, or you get more conscious of this load management at a younger age?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see him cut more games on the youth level. You're not cutting any games in the NBA because of money or any professional sport. They're not going to cut any games. But I would love to see him cut back a little bit when you're younger, because the body is not made to take the type of pounding that we put on ourselves. You know, you're not supposed to be playing like that. You're not supposed to be jumping 40 inches in the air, landing, you know, 6 to 10 times a game like that. You're supposed to be doing other things. And, you know, it's one of those things where if we get more, we get smarter about the technology we use and how we take care of guys' bodies, and, you know, because this is still brand new stuff. You know, this is a new age as far as, like, the players that have played that many games are finally starting to come in the NBA. You know, we'll get to see over the next 10 to 20 years how these guys hold up or break down.
Load management, that's the key phrase that the NBA is throwing out there. What do you think about the guys sitting? And I know the Spurs were kind of like the first to do it, and now everybody is doing it, but that it's also created this firestorm with, you know, sitting out and people pay a lot of money. How do you feel about taking nights off and how they're trying to handle that?
I mean, honestly, they're just trying to protect the guys, man. It's tough. I mean, it's long seasons. You know, guys go through it. You know, after about 2 weeks in the NBA, you're tired.
Yeah.
So guys need it. And if guys have had, like, a previous injury history, you might have to – you need to be a little bit careful about, you know, how you load them, especially knee injuries and lower extremity joint injuries. You need to be careful about – you know, what you do with them and how much they're playing. And, you know, it's like I said, it all goes back to the technology and the science we're using to preserve guys' bodies.
What do you think? What's life after basketball for Brandon Wright? What's your interest? I mean, right now I know you're watching your girls grow up, and you said you're rehabbing, but what do you want to do? What's life after basketball going to be? Do you know?
Not particularly. I mean, I got my hands in a lot of pots.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have my team Brandon Wright organization, which is girls basketball.
Awesome.
You know, I'll be doing that and, you know, basically just supporting my young girls, whatever they want to do. And my wife has some stuff going on the side that's I can't talk about, but it's about to drop pretty soon. So I'll be there to support that. But, you know, I'm just hanging out, you know, taking care of my body. Probably not done playing.
Okay.
Had some opportunities, but just need to get my
You just want to make management. Sure everything's right.
Yeah, load management.
Because, look, for people that have, you know, I mean, you can certainly talk about this. The guys that go, when you have to just constantly battle the injuries and the rehab, like, after a while, it's so mentally taxing on you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about a lot when Andrew Luck announced the retirement, mm-hmm. right, with that part of it, just the willingness to want to go back through it again with the rehabbing an injury. You've gone through a lot of these. So what's your mindset of that?
Yeah, I mean.
Could you sort of relate when he was saying these things?
Oh, no question. I mean, it's easy to just say, I'm just done with this, man. Let's just go do something else, you know. Especially if you already made a lot of money. You know, you've done well for yourself. It's easy to say, man, you know, let's relax now. Let's not have to go through this, and let's not have to go down this road again. And, you know, guys are just, you know, I think you'll see it more and more. I think guys will, you know, 7, 8, 9 years, they'll be done. And, you know, if the injuries start to pile up, you know, what's the point? What's the risk? You know, you want to go home and be able to play with your kids and be around your family and be pain-free.
Football, we're definitely seeing that.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt. Yeah. What do you think of the move of Vanderbilt hiring Jerry Stackhouse?
I love the move. You know, they're struggling, obviously, on the court. You know, I don't want to see that losing streak end pretty soon. But
he does, too.
Yeah, oh yeah. But, you know, I know a lot of the guys he hired, and I know those are good guys, and they work extremely hard. You know, most of them are NBA guys. So, you know, when you come from the NBA, all you do is work.
Yeah.
I mean, it's long hours every single day. So those guys they'll get it in order. And he was recruiting well. He's great on the circuit as far as knowing who's good and who isn't good and, you know, not trusting that star. But maybe he's a two-star, but we know he's a player. He'll find those guys. I think he's going to do a great job. You know, people a little bit down on him right now because they're not winning, obviously. But I love everything he Stack's about.
Do you have aspirations to do any coaching at all on your end?
I don't know about that, man. Not yet. I mean, I've had some opportunities from numerous people. But I don't know if that's the role for me right now.
Interesting.
I think coaching is probably – even longer hours than actually
I was going to say, probably, you know? When you say that out loud, of all the hours I have to put in,
yeah. It's
not for everybody.
Yeah, and you make much less money.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, but you think that's he's going to get it turned around? And
oh, no question. He's going to recruit well. The player development aspect over there will be great. I know the guys they have over there. I know the guys they have in place. I know how they run the program. Yeah, he's going to do a great job. I'm excited for him.
I know you were very close and followed Darius Garland, you know, Brentwood Academy, yeah. The same thing. How's he doing? How is he adjusting to the NBA lifestyle?
He's doing all right. He's not shooting the ball well. I think it's a big adjustment for him, especially on defense. But that's how it is for everyone. You're going to come in and it has some struggles. You know, he's been up and down with his shooting. I think that's the biggest thing he'll probably lock in on is this offseason is being more consistently – you know, being able to be more consistent and make his jump shots. But he'll be a fine player. You know, it's all about the situation and the fit. You know, I don't like that they're playing two-point guards. That doesn't do them any good up there in Cleveland, but they'll figure that out. And, you know, hopefully they'll be moving in the right direction.
Did you get to see Aaron Nesmith much before he got hurt?
I seen he was dominating.
I mean, his numbers were really good. I mean, he looks good to me, but you have a better eye for how his game would translate. But I hear – you know, he's a guy that really has a bright future.
Oh, he'll be a fine player. Just got to get healthy. You know, he's probably the same thing, a load management type of thing. I mean, you get stress fractures. That's what it's from. I mean, it's just a lot of work over a short amount of period of time. And got to get him back on the court. He's a good player. I like watching him.
All right, who wins on Sunday?
I'm going to say the Chiefs. I'm not 100% confident in
it.
But I say the Chiefs.
Because of Mahomes?
Just because of Mahomes, yeah.
He's fun to watch.
Yeah, he is. He is.
And quite honestly, what we've talked about with just kind of how the game has evolved and changed to what it is today, he's kind of really, I don't know if this is a good comparison or not, but he's kind of like the Steph Curry of football.
Yeah. I mean,
I think there is a little bit of
he's
that.
He's that exciting.
Yeah. He's changed the game a little bit. Nobody plays like him.
But in the last couple of years, this is probably I'm not that confident about the pick, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Last year, I thought the Patriots were going to win the game. This year, I don't know. I wouldn't put money on it this year. I wouldn't bet on it.
Well, maybe that just means it's going
to
be a really
good
game.
Plus, I don't have a dog in the fight either, so it's kind of cool to sit back and relax, you know?
Yeah. I'm excited, though, to see because I can remember watching John Elway in his first Super Bowl. It didn't go so well. Like Dan Marino's first didn't go well. Then you had Joe Montana and Tom Brady. they did fine. You know, so this is his first crack really on the biggest stage, right? And they're going to rely heavily on him. How he plays is going to tell the story, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think this they probably need to win this one because when he gets that huge contract, it's going to mess the cap up.
Yep.
Yes.
So they won't have as much flexibility like money-wise. So if he gets this one, he'll be in good shape.
Yep, good stuff. Hey, good to see you. Thanks for doing this.
No, appreciate you guys. Thank
Best
you
of luck
much.
With everything. Brandon Thank Wright, you. We really appreciate him stopping by. We will come back. Hour number two, Darren, Donnick, and Chase next.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.